Uttama Shloka. O Lord, who are praised by selected verses. Mahat of great devotees. Mukha Chutaha, delivered from the mouths. Bhavat, your Pada Ampoja, from the lotus feet. Sudha, of nectar. Kana, particles. Anilaha, soothing breeze. Smritim, remembrance. Punaha, again. Vismrita, forgotten. Tattva, to the truth. Vartmanam, of persons whose path. Kuyoginam, of persons not in the line of devotional service. Naha, of us. Vitarati, restores. Alam, unnecessary. Varaihi, other benedictions. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Do we need to do a cell phone check? Cell phones should be off. Purport. It is explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas, it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed in a song by Thakur Bhaktivinod, Lord Chaitanya says, "Jeev jago, jeev jago." The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in the human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee.
Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shrayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Dalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sa Uttama Shloka Mahan Mukachuto Pavat Padam Bhoja Shuddha Kanani Laha Smritim Punar Vismrita Tatva Vartmanam Kuyoginam Na Kuyoginam No Vitarachyalam Varaihi. The message of Krishna is to be heard from the pure devotees of the Lord. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukha chuta. From the infallible source of the devotees, achuta and chuta. Chuta here means delivered. The message of Achyuta, Krishna, should be delivered from the mouth of a pure devotee. Here the language is very poetic. It proves the point that Krishna is Uttama Shloka. The verse itself, this verse itself, is very poetic in its description of the dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Which are carried by the transcendental vibration. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky. The voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust and the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up till that moment he had forgotten everything. The sound vibration of the devotees comes from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. The glorification of the Lord that takes place in the association of pure devotees is not simply coming from the mechanical flapping of the tongue. It's coming from contact with the personality of Godhead. The message is coming through the disciplic succession from the spiritual world, and so it bears the potency of Krishna, or the nectar coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Gurushu Naramati Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. One should not think that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, or that the devotee of the Lord is a member of a particular caste or family of human society. Just as one should not think that the water of the Ganges is just ordinary water, or that the Shalagram Shila is just an ordinary stone, or that the deity of the Lord is an ordinary statue. One should not think that the devotees who present the sound vibration of Krishna consciousness are ordinary men. They're importing the spiritual saffron. Even in the material world, saffron is the most expensive and valuable spice. It's only gotten from the inside of a particular flower. And so it's very costly. If you want to get jeera or salt or so many other spices, chili, they're cheap, but saffron is very costly. Therefore, people are very eager to trade in saffron. Then what to speak of this saffron? If the saffron of the material world is so valuable, what to speak of that saffron? But the saffron traders of the material world are too busy to think about that saffron. Vismrita. They've forgotten their relationship with Krishna. They're interested in their relationship with money, in their relationship with women, whether they're wives or some other women. They're interested in the relationship with family members. They're interested in whatever is in relationship to their senses. That's important. The price of saffron, that's important. Where we can get a good deal on saffron, that's important. But this saffron, that's mythology, that's for your old age, that's for somebody other than me. Vismrita. They've forgotten the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. So much nectar is to be found there, but they've forgotten it, and they're thinking, what is Krishna to me? Anyway, what is it to me? It's not important. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. The devotee to hear from is a devotee who has these qualifications. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam. Anukulyena Krishna Nushidanam Bhaktir Uttama. The glories of Uttama Shloka should be heard from an Uttama Bhakta, a pure devotee of the Lord. Uttama Bhakta means he's not interested in mental speculation, he's not interested in sense gratification. Nadhanam Najanam Nasandarim Kavitam Va. He's not interested in impersonal liberation. He wants to serve Krishna. Then the message will be pure. Then the message will be pure. The potency will be there. When we hear from a devotee fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Every one of us is kuyogi because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as his eternal loving service. Servants. It is our duty to rise from the kuyoga platform to become suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life, it does not matter what it is, but if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord, and thus engages in his loving service and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. Yogi means a person who's connected. Kuyogi is one who's connected with this material energy. Even the so-called yogis who are simply cheaters are kuyogis. They're kuyogis. They make a show of being connected with transcendence, but they're actually connected with profit, fame, adoration. They're materialists. So every one of us, therefore, Prabhupada says, is kuyogi. We're interested in being connected with the material energy. But our business is to be connected with Krishna, serve Krishna.
Kuyoginam no vitarati alam varai.
So Prithu Maharaj says, what other benediction do we need but the blessing to hear from the mouths of pure devotees? That's what's wanted. All right, some questions. We have a microphone? Yes, come in.
So, how do you get this? I mean, Srila Prabhupada is gone now. So how do you get this?
You find a pure devotee.
But what if one's not available?
Tough luck. That's your misfortune.
How do you become fortunate?
By the mercy of Krishna.
But without the pure devotee, how do you get the mercy particles?
You get the mercy by the mercy of Krishna. You'll find the pure devotee. If you can't find the pure devotee, that's your misfortune. That's all. And you can't artificially make yourself fortunate. If you want to be double misfortunate, you can pretend that you've met a pure devotee, that you're a disciple of Prabhupada. You know that you can join that group. Those who think they've met Prabhupada because they read a book. Prabhupada's there, but if you read the book carefully, he says you have to find a pure devotee. So, if you read a book and become convinced that you don't need to meet a pure devotee, then you should go back to school and learn to read. Pancharatna Prabhu.
Because you seem to indicate that when we hear, well, one could, what I believe might be a misunderstanding, is that when we hear from Srila Prabhupada in his books and or his tapes or so on, that we're not getting this sound vibration that is being described here?
You are getting the sound vibration from Prabhupada, but then if you get it, you should take it. Not 50%, 80%. It is a pure vibration, but then you have to take advantage of the vibration by understanding properly what Prabhupada says. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshanaha tad vijnanartam sagurumeva bigachchet tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shrey uttamam. All of these things are there. Evam prampra praptam imam rajarsh. Yeah, simple things like that. Evam prampra praptam. There's a parampara system.
So, in other words, it's what you're telling us is that it's not an. If one thinks that, well, I'll simply be, you know, I'll just listen to Srila Prabhupada, I'll just read his books, and I don't need to seek the association of pure devotees.
That wasn't a valid philosophy up till July 9th, 1977, up till July 9th, 1977, that was a bogus philosophy.
Good clarification. But my question has to do with this this awakening. In our experience, when we awaken, it's immediate. You're asleep, and then you're awake.
That's not my experience.
I mean, fairly immediate. And your dream state, in other words, is gone. You're in a dream state, and then you awaken, and maybe it's slightly, you know, there's a little in between, but it's fairly soon. But it seems to me that our awakening process is somewhat drawn out. It's not that.
Well, it's relative consideration. If you look at it from one point of view, it's like millions and millions of years. If you look at it from another point of view, it's less than a blink of Mahavishnu. So it's a relative consideration. You know, for the person who wants an answer now, you are so slow to wake up. And from the person who, you know, has a different point of view, it's like, I woke up, from your own point of view, I woke up in just a second, you know, I was asleep and then I woke up. But somebody else is looking and say, you know, my God, the guy's, you know, takes him half an hour to wake up. So it's relative consideration.
Because this verse describes, at least in the purport, it describes a sort of immediate awakening.
Doesn't say that. In fact, it says devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life.
Yeah, but there was one other place where they hear.
You're glorified by the selected verses uttered by the great personalities. Such glorification is just like saffron particles. When the vibration carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion. I see gradually twice.
I thought I heard something to that.
Anyway,
I'm just asleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, gradually you'll.
Gradually I'll wake up. Yes.
Gradually.
But I may be unfortunate.
Regarding finding the pure devotee. Prabhupada did say that if one repeats without adding or subtracting and in a proper way what the pure devotee says, he may not be pure, but what he says is pure. Now, to avoid, you know, a mad search for the pure devotee, which has caused sometimes discrepancies within ISKCON, wouldn't it be that the attitude, you know, that I try to hear from someone who repeats, you know, what Prabhupada says, and that the message comes through?
Well, we certainly try to hear from someone who repeats what Prabhupada said. That's certainly true. We don't want to hear from someone who concocts something. On the other hand, Prabhupada here says that one should hear from one who's fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. I don't think we can discount that. Srila Prabhupada seems to indicate that there are grades of devotees. There are neophyte devotees, there are advanced devotees. In the nectar of devotion, it's advised that one should associate with devotees who are more advanced, and one should hear from one who's more advanced. Shushushaya pajana vigyam ananya manya nindadi shunya hrida ipsita sangalabdhya. In the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami says there are third class, second class, first class devotees.
that we should at least mentally honor those who are third class, those who chanted Hare Krishna at least once, who are chanting, Tikshasti Yat Pranitibhis, and those who are initiated devotees and are following the process, we should offer them respects, pranams, and Shru Shru Shraya Bhajanabhigyam Ananyamanya. From the first class devotees, those are the ones that we should serve, those are the ones we should hear from with full confidence. Nindari Shunya Hridam Ipsita, those whose hearts are devoid of the tendency to commit sadhu ninda, especially, or criticize in general, but especially sadhu ninda, nindari, and other kinds of offenses. That's advised here. So on the one side, it's true that we hear regularly from persons who have that good qualification, that they repeat what they've heard from the authority. On the other hand, it's also true that we especially look to hear from a person who's advanced in the science and who shows these characteristics, Nindari Shunya Hridam Ipsita, Sangalabhya, his association is wanted. His association is wanted. Subhas Prabhu. Wasn't on just before. Yeah, tech guy. Let's get in here.
Papa never, I don't believe Papa wrote this, but I think he's mentioned it in lectures. I think I've heard it, where Srila Prabhupada said, "As for my devotees, as long as they're following very strictly the process of Krishna consciousness, my disciples are pure devotees of the Lord."
Yeah, this pure devotee term is one of the most interesting terms in all of Srila Prabhupada's literature. It can mean anything from the most highly perfected Paramhansa, ultimate achievement Vaishnav, to any member of ISKCON. Prabhupada uses it both ways and all the ways in between. So it's really an interesting term when we hear that one should hear from a pure devotee. Does that mean the pure devotee who's completely free from all material desires? Does it mean the pure devotee who's joined the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and is following the regulative principles? What does it mean? It's an interesting topic for thought. In terms of practical daily existence, we do hear from all the devotees who are in good standing and who are serving the society. And Prabhupada himself did that. Famously, he wrote to the temple president of New York that I am sitting here in Vrindavan and hearing my students speak, so you should also do that. Not that, you know, when I come, then you hear, and when my students are speaking, then you don't hear. So Srila Prabhupada himself set that example, that he would hear even from his students.
What about the idea that the person that I heard Krishna consciousness about, I believe when he spoke to me, I became very motivated and enthused to hear or learn about Krishna consciousness. And then I recall that I moved into the temple and he blew, or I think he might have got kicked out of the temple. But even though it was just a meeting of a few minutes, inviting me to the temple, and I became very encouraged to be a devotee. But then he left, but I still stayed. So what about this idea of, like, you know, sadhu, shastra, guru? Isn't that, I mean, aren't those important principles just to go on in Krishna consciousness? I mean, like, doesn't that give you an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead? In the sense that, you know, you have an initiating Diksha guru, but then you also have Srila Prabhupada as a Shiksha guru, and then, you know, you have sadhu association, and you have shastra. Are those sufficient for one to actually go back home, back to Godhead?
Well, you seem to have mentioned everything.
Yes,
sadhu,
I
guru, sadhu, shastra, initiating
all
guru,
purpose.
Instruction gurus. Is that enough? It ought to be enough. That's just about everything. Finally, it's Krishna who's the guru. One becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of Krishna. Then Krishna appears as the shastra. Krishna appears as the guru. Krishna speaks through the sadhus. So finally, Krishna is acting through all these different channels. As you pointed out, that Prabhupada said that while the person is doing his business properly, then he's functional, or the potency is there. I have some explicit statement about that in my files from Prabhupada, where he essentially says that, well, while he's doing his business properly, it's potent. And we see that someone preaches to us, he leaves, we stay. But it doesn't, obviously there was some potency there, otherwise how did we come? So even though he may later lose his potency, so it was there then. Just like Arjuna, he was empowered by Krishna to fight against so many Maharatis, and then later the potency was withdrawn. But then they didn't reverse the battle of Kurukshetra because he later lost his potency. He won the battle, and then later he was defeated by some cowherd men. But they didn't retroactively redo the battle of Kurukshetra. So someone may later lose his capability, but while he's capable, he brings us Krishna consciousness. That means Krishna is acting through him at that time. Then if Krishna no longer acts through that person, then we look for Krishna elsewhere. I also had that experience that when I first came, probably many people have, that I was very inspired by some particular devotees. Now those particular devotees went elsewhere. But then they gave you a start, they created some faith, they created some understanding of Krishna consciousness. So if that stayed with you, then you can use that and look for Krishna elsewhere in the remaining association of devotees. Is that okay? Yes, Madhu Sevita Prabhu.
I'd like to say something, but I'll leave it. I'll go to another point. There is a talk nowadays from some sections of the society that Prabhupada has to be taken ex cathedra. When he speaks from Shastra, he is, you know, Krishna is speaking through him. The assumption being that sometime Srila Prabhupada... when he doesn't speak from Shastra, practically is impelled in his speech by the modes of nature. Because either it's Krishna working through you, or, you know, what? So here it says that, and you mentioned in your class, that it's not just a mechanical working of the tongue when a pure devotee speaks. And if he's situated on the Visuddhasattva platform and at Krishna's lotus feet, his speech comes directly from the spiritual world. So what is your opinion of what?
I think you're not stating the argument accurately.
Okay, so you stated.
The way you're stating it is that when Prabhupada speaks about Krishna consciousness, that's perfect. And when he's speaking about mundane realities, he's influenced by the modes of material nature.
That's what some people are saying. I'm just.
I've heard the argument stated differently, that when he's speaking about Krishna consciousness, then it's always infallible knowledge. And when he's speaking about other things, it may or may not be true. That doesn't necessarily imply that it's that he's been influenced by the modes of material nature. I think there's a distinction there.
I think so too, but the way they're proposing it is...
Well, if they want to propose that Prabhupada is influenced by the modes of material nature, then, you know, we're not even going to talk to them. We don't buy it. When he sits on the asana, he ascends to the transcendental platform, and when he gets off the asana, he's a tool of the three modes of material nature. I mean, that's just stupid.
Well, to say that, you know, he speaks because of his Bengali culture.
That's a different argument again.
Yeah, well, it's
to say, I mean, you're extending the argument to say that Prabhupada, I mean, he certainly does speak because of his Bengali. Well, let's take something practical that's within my field of experience. Let's take the English language. Now, Prabhupada spoke or wrote his books in the English language, and he did things like, he'd say, through the exigency of the material nature, as if the word exigency meant agency, which according to every dictionary in the world, it doesn't. An exigency is an emergency situation, not an agent. But Prabhupada says Krishna acts through the exigency of his pure devotees. It doesn't mean that. Now, Prabhupada got that from his education. He learned English, and that's how he learned it. Or he learned why you should do like this, as if that were, you know, acceptable English syntax, which it's not. Now, does that mean that Prabhupada, when he was speaking, was influenced by the material nature because his grammar wasn't good? No. Does it mean that we have to attribute the way he spoke to his British Bengali education? Yes. So, therefore, I say I think you're overextending the argument. If we say that Prabhupada looked at a certain thing a certain way or spoke in a certain way or sometimes reflected something from his upbringing or from his environment, that's not the same as saying that he's acting under the modes of material nature. It's overstating, as far as I've seen, what question people are raising. And if you overstate the question, it's easy to dismiss. The harder question to dismiss, or the question that's more interesting, this question we dismiss out of hand. We say, no, Prabhupada is not under the modes of material nature. Pure devotee is not an ordinary human being. It's not that when he gets on the asana, he's pure, and when he gets off, he's in Maya. And that we just dismiss without even wasting our time thinking about it. It doesn't deserve even to be thought about. The other question deserves thought. When is Prabhupada speaking, you know, with absolute perfection, representing the full force of the Sampradaya and the Acharyas and so on? And when does what he say, if at all, reflect his upbringing, his education, the values or the things that he heard, the things that he heard, especially in his formative years and so on? It's an interesting question. It could be phrased a different way and say, do we accept that every single thing that Prabhupada ever said is true? Literally true. You know, if Prabhupada said that such and such place is 50 miles north of Calcutta and every map in the world says it's 50 miles south, do we say, well, Prabhupada said it, and Prabhupada's a pure devotee, and these map makers are, you know, mundane conditioned souls, so if Prabhupada said it's north, it's north. That's the question that you look at. And then if we say, well, no, we don't accept that 100% of the time, always, whatever Prabhupada said was 100% perfect, then the question is, well, okay, when was it and when wasn't it? And my prediction is that that's going to be a topic of discussion for several hundred, if not several thousand years. And people are going to be asking themselves that question and asking one another that question. But I think that we don't do justice to the question if we take the easy road of saying, well, anyone who questions whether, you know, Prabhupada ever said anything that wasn't 100% coming from Krishna is implying that he's, you know, just a conditioned soul. I think that's the easy way out. Prabhupada personally told me, it's famous, and people have even dismissed it by saying that Prabhupada was just dealing with the doubts of a conditioned soul and was kind of just throwing him something to keep him pacified. But I asked Prabhupada, sometimes that we see that a pure devotee makes mistakes. I asked him more carefully, sometimes we see from the material point of view that a pure devotee makes mistakes. And Prabhupada said, that is material point of view. And then I said, well, sometimes we see even that in spiritual things, the spiritual master sometimes seems to make mistakes. He quotes a verse one way and actually it's another way, or he forgets a verse. Just for those who've been with Prabhupada, that was a pretty bold question to ask. And Prabhupada again said that that's the material point of view. He said that we have to see how the pure devotee is preaching the message of Krishna. He said the spiritual master is not a magician. We have to see how he's preaching. I thought, as I remembered it, that Prabhupada had given the example of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was illiterate. I mean, that was his background. He couldn't write his own name. And yet he was accepted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When I later read the conversation, I said that. But Prabhupada, I think, accepted it. Didn't argue with the point. And so I guess that was my understanding at the time from what Prabhupada had said. That we don't look at the material with the ordinary material eyes, material standards. One devotee told how he came to maybe it was 26 Second Avenue, and the Swami was leading kirtan, and then the kirtan ended, and the Swami put on his glasses to begin the class, and he thought, well, if he's a yogi, why does he need glasses? That's our mundane point of view. If he's a pure devotee, his vision should be 20/20, and he shouldn't need glasses. That's the mundane way of looking at a pure devotee. If he's a pure devotee, why isn't his English 100% perfect? Or if he's a pure devotee, his English is 100% perfect. We redefine English grammar according to the way he spoke, because whatever he did was perfect. We need a more deep understanding, a more true understanding of what it means to be a pure devotee. That bell means that I'm 15 minutes late in ending the class, so we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.